Colossians chapter 2, this is the chapter where Paul talks about the fullness of the Godhead. It's also where he's talking about nailing things to the cross. Verse 20, Colossians 2:20. If you have died to Christ, to the elementary principles of the world, how many of us have attempted to do that? Have we died or tried to die to the elementary principles of the world, rudiments? Why then, he asks, he's asking the question, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as? Why do you let the world dictate what you believe? If you've died to things, why do you let the world come back and tell you what things you should or shouldn't believe? Such as, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. What are these doctrines of men who are influenced by the world? Tell us not to touch, not to taste, not to handle. These are matters which have to be sure. Let me read that again. These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion. What does King James say? You got a King James? Oh, you're somewhere else. What does somebody's got a King James open? Surely there is a King James open. Okay. Pardon? Okay. Well, it was in chapter 2, verse 23. These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion. What does King James say? No, 23 is what I want. It's in 23. Read the first part of 23. Okay. Have some kind of will. The actual rendering of that is self-made religion. Will worship. So that's what King James says, is will worship. You worship what you will. And self-abasement. Severe treatment of the body. But are of no value against fleshly indulgences. What Paul is saying here is that the church allows the world to tell them what sin is. Tells us how to dress. Tells us where we can go, where we can't go, because it's got to be sin. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Tells us what to eat or drink. There's not a person in here that has not been influenced by a doctrine of the world that got into the church by somebody who was making a self-made religion. Paul's saying here is that Jesus took these things and he nailed them to the cross. And if we've died, then why are we influenced so greatly by the world? Why do we allow the world to tell us what to touch, what to taste, and what to handle? And I believe that what I'm trying to say here is that one thing that has happened in the church is that there's a lot of self-made religions. And we've gotten away from apostles' doctrine. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's happened? Does anybody besides me think that's happened? Would you help me? Okay. And things that are not sin have been decreed as sin, which has been more of things you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't touch this, you can't taste that. Touch not, taste not, handle not. I've said it before and I'll say it again, and I'm a little cautious. But today, if Jesus Christ was to come to the earth today, we would think he was a sinner because of some self-made religion. I want some amens when I do this. Because the Jews have taken the word of God, religious people take the word of God and make it of none effect. By their own commandments, by their own doctrines. The doctrines of devils have come in and has caused great division in the body of Christ. Great division. Doctrines have divided us. Am I right? And even within denominations, even though they have the same doctrines, they're still divided on as to how they interpret the doctrine. Perfect example of that is, of course, Southern Baptist. There's probably 20 Southern Baptist churches in our city or area. Do you think so? 20 of them. Are they one? Are they 20? Doctrines don't bring you together. Doctrines divide. And then it's on how you interpret the doctrine. And I don't know how I got on it. But I do know this, that somewhere along the line, we've got to get back to the apostles' doctrine. And we just got to let the Word of God be the Word of God. God is not a man that he can lie. And probably, at least two or three of us have probably told a lie somewhere along in our lifetime. But the Word of God is truth. Man interjects his doctrines and his thinking, and I've done it, and you've done it. And the only thing that's ever going to bring us together is the apostles' doctrine. The reason that the church in Jerusalem had such unity, and they saw the signs and the wonders and the power that they had, was because they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Go with Acts there just with me just a few minutes in Acts chapter 2. And let's just say a few things. We talked about Pentecost this morning. Today is Pentecost. Today is the day of Pentecost. It is Feast of Pentecost. It's First Fruits Feast. Three feasts. God said, I want you to come together and have a feast three times a year. Passover, First Fruits, or Pentecost, and Trumpets. This one is the second one. Today is the second one. It's Pentecost. It's 50 days after Passover. 50 days ago, 1959 years ago, they crucified Jesus Christ. Today is Passover. I mean, it's Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came the first day of the week and baptized all these people. Not baptized them so much as he filled them. I think the proper biblical term would be filled. He filled them with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, this is where we wanted to go this morning and where we're heading over the next couple of weeks in our study of the church. It said, praising God and having favor with all people, the Lord was adding to the ecclesia. NASB says number. King James Bible says church, it's ecclesia, it's church, day by day, or daily. Those who were being saved, or King James says those who should be saved. The thing that we want in our church, in our local assembly, is the kind of a church that God will add to daily. But to get to verse 47, we've got to go all the way back to verse 1 and experience the Pentecost. We've got to be a place where we can come and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And a place that we provide for people in this area to come and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The first thing that we've got to do is provide a place to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not a place to come and praise God. Not a place to come and pray. Not a place to come and have good teaching. But a place to come and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because once that happens, then everything else will happen. Everything else finds its place. Once we are filled with God, then everything else will take its place. But we need to be a place. We need to find a place. In verse 1 of Acts chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost had come. How many of you had a day of Pentecost in your life? There was a day when Pentecost came on you. Raise your hand if you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. The day of Pentecost came on you. There is a day of Pentecost. And when it comes upon you, that's what happens. The day of Pentecost came. They were together in one place. And that's the thought that we're projecting today, is that we want to be a church that provides a place for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house. How many want this house filled with the Holy Ghost? Don't you? You just want to come in here and feel Him. Just fill this place. Fill this place, oh God, just fill it. We want that to happen here. Fill the whole house where we're sitting. And there appeared cloven tongues as a fire, distributing themselves and resting on each one of them. How many would like one of those right now? And there were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterances. That notice there, and I'm just going through this. I know I preached it this morning, but I'm just going through it, maybe picking up some little things that I didn't say. Now there were, and there were Jews. Where was I at? Verse 4. Now who spake? They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and who began to speak? Did the Holy Spirit begin to speak, or did they begin to speak? So the Holy Spirit doesn't come on us and make us speak, or do we speak because the Holy Spirit is in us? Which is it? Is the Spirit subject to the prophet, or is the prophet subject to the Spirit? Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. It just does not come on you and shake you and make you do it. You speak. As the Holy Ghost comes on you, you speak. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was given them, has given them utterance. He gives you the utterance, He gives you the words, He gives you the syllables, and you speak them. And now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And we talked about that this morning. What did these Jews, these devout men, these people that really loved God, these good Baptists, good Methodists, good Presbyterians, what did these good devout people do to these guys that were speaking in tongues? Now these devout people, they loved God. Did they believe in God? They loved God? They were devout. They loved them. But what did they do to these other people that were talking in tongues? Begin to mock them. Said they're full of new wine, sweet wine. Laughing at them. And when you speak in tongues, verse 11, when you speak in tongues, what are you doing? Speaking the mighty deeds of God. Christians and Arabs, they said, we hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? What meaneth this? But others were mocking and saying, they're full of wine. And Peter stood up and said, and that's next week or next time or sometime down the road. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. The church universal and the church at Lafayette needs Pentecost. Before you can get to verse 47 where the Lord is adding day by day or daily, we've got to get through verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We've got to get ourselves in a place where we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't matter if they mock us. It doesn't matter what they say. We've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. The evidence of that is speaking in tongues all the way through Scriptures. Got nothing to do with your belief. They were devout men in Jerusalem. They loved God, believed in God. Got nothing to do with whether you believe or not. Got everything to do with being filled with Him. Filled with Him. Church at Lafayette, every church, needs to be filled with the Spirit. Once we can come to that place, stay in the commandments and apostles' doctrines, what we're going to find is we're going to come back to unity. Father's going to make us one. So the whole world will see our love for one another. You believe that? Amen. Dr. Graham was sharing with me this morning. I really felt that this morning something really happened in our meeting. Something in the realm of the Spirit. You know, you don't know these things until later on. And Dr. Graham and I was talking immediately after the service this morning. It was such a wonderful service to me. It was just a real wonderful service. And Dr. Graham was sharing with me, and he said that ever since we taught from Matthew 16, where we took the keys of the kingdom, remember when we stood up that day and we unlocked the keys of the kingdom, we took the keys of the kingdom and unlocked heaven upon this church and upon these people, that when we done that, and we unlocked the kingdom of heaven upon us, that things have just been different. And he's going to have a testimony for us in a couple of weeks that he wants to share. But in his particular life, things have just been totally different. How many want that to happen in our lives? Keys of the kingdom, letting the Holy Ghost just come and fill us, totally changing our places in our lives. Amen. That's it. Well, okay. That's all we're going to do tonight. No, we're not. We're going to receive an offer. Let's do that. Let's just tell you what to do. Michelle, if you all will come and play just something. Want us to move around a little bit, and maybe you've got an encouragement for someone, a word of exhortation, comfort, and let's just take about 5 minutes here. We have some visitors, and I want to greet them and move around some, and maybe you've got something. You just want to tell somebody hello, that you love them, that you want to greet them and just take care of them, you know, just greet them real well. So we'll do that, and then and then we'll just be dismissed. So let's just bless the giving.